Praise God, we're going to continue with Exalting Jesus. We've been teaching this now for quite some weeks now. And this week I want to look at the school of sonship unto adoption. Sonship unto adoption. Praise his wonderful name. And I'm going to be using a few scriptures through the evening so you can get some practice in your Bible. And the first scripture I want you to turn to is Romans chapter 8, please. Romans chapter 8. That's in the New Testament. And it's after the book of Acts. Praise God. Alright, Romans chapter 8, and verses 14 we'll start at. Oh, it's Helen's favourite as well as Grace's. So, yeah, it's a good chapter, this one, to read. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Now, let me tell you this, you can be led by another spirit. You can be led by your human spirit, and you can be led by demonic spirits. But you're not a son of God when you're moving in those realms. And the word tells us, for all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Praise God. So that's where we need to get to. That is the point where God wants us, that we are led by the Spirit of God. Okay? You got that? 14. Verse 17. And if children, heirs also of God, and fellow heirs with Christ Jesus, if indeed we suffer with him, in order that we may also be glorified with him. Okay, let's do a little bit of explaining. If you have any questions, well, just either put your hand up and we'll try and answer them there and then, but we try and sort of leave them till later, or write them down for later. But if children, to be a son of God, you've got to become a child of God first. Yeah? And so as we become a child of God, it says that we also become heirs. Heirs of God. In other words, we've got an inheritance due to us. Praise God. Hallelujah. An inheritance that's due to us. And we thank God for this inheritance. And that it says that we are fellow, in my version it says that we are fellow heirs. In your one of two versions it will say that we are, what's yours say? Joint heirs. Yeah, joint heirs. With Christ Jesus. And so it shows us here, Paul is beginning to minister and saying that, you know, we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Everybody can read that point. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. He hasn't finished speaking. He hasn't finished speaking, has he? Joint heirs with Christ Jesus. If what? If indeed we suffer with Christ Jesus, in order that we may be glorified with Christ Jesus, or in Christ Jesus. Christ in us and we're in Christ. Okay? So, this is what God is saying to us, that God is saying that we will, if we're going to be the sons and we're going to be heirs, it's not just a one-sided bargain spot like, oh, I'm an heir, you know, I get all the good bits and Jesus gets all the rough bits. You know? It's okay for one, but not for me. We're part of this family. If one of the members suffer, the word says that we all suffer. And we suffer the pain of it, and we suffer the grief and the things that happen. We're praying for Andy's situation. And to some degree we suffer in our prayers, we intercede for him. But God will intervene and do great and mighty things. And we've done this before. Bill one time went through a difficult time and we stood in the gap and we prayed and we suffered in that. And we came through in victory, didn't we? Hallelujah. And we thank God for that. And because of that, Bill stands in his faith. He had a battle. Got to the point of nearly, you know, the point of breakthrough is the toughest place to be. When you're in engineering, some of you have heard me say this before, but those that don't understand, if you're drilling a piece of steel, you start drilling and it goes easy. And when you get to the very point, just before the breakthrough, before you get to the other side of the steel, it becomes so thin, it heats up so rapidly, and the air cools it at the same time, and it hardens it. And so the drill begins to make a squealing sound to show that it's hard. But you have to apply some extra pressure. And when you apply that extra pressure, the drill then breaks through the other side. And so with us, at times when the pressure comes on, we're right on the edge of breakthrough. That's where we are. You can do one or two things. Oh, it's squealing. Turn it off and stop. That's quitting. We've all been there. Well, most of I've been there. Bill's been there. Have you been there? Yeah? I remember when Bill was there and, you know, we said, no, Bill, come on, we're going to pray. And we agreed and we pressed through together. Needs a bit extra pressure to break through. Why? Because we're family. We're sons of God. We're joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Family does not operate in isolation. I'll say that again. Family does not operate in isolation. Family, true family, don't gossip. True family cares, keeps its secrets, looks after and blesses and encourages. True family has discipline. True family has order. Kingdom of God is built on discipline and order. Love is discipline. Chastisement is discipline. You can't be in the family of God and just do what you want. Don't work that way. You can't be in the family of God and just be wild. Guess what? Because when that starts to happen, God's discipline moves in. God's rod of correction moves in, the word of God moves in and begins that process of correction. Why? Because it's for your own benefit. It's for your own security. It's for your own protection that the word of God and the spirit of God speaks through people in the church to guide, to direct, to encourage. Now the sons of God need to be moving or should be moving in the realm of the Spirit. You see, what you've got in the church is you've got the children of God. And I'll explain that a little bit later, hopefully, if we get to that. And you've got the sons of God. And they're different. Not just by name, but by nature. Hallelujah. Ooh, think on that one. Praise God. Romans chapter 8 and verse 21. That the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. What is he saying? Now, I'm picking out just some verses. You can read it later yourself. You can read it all. But that creation itself will be set free. So at the moment, the apostle is saying creation is in bondage. Yeah? Would you agree? That's the assumption from that. Creation is in bondage. But it will be set free from its slavery to corruption. Praise God for that. All that God has made is in bondage to the corruption of sin and death. Yeah? Is that right? Would you agree? Good. I'm glad somebody does. Praise God. But it's, and it will be set free from this slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Now I think that word children there should be referred to as the sons of God. I think if we dig deeper on that one you'll find. So that the corruption, the slavery to corruption, will be into that place where it moves us into freedom of the glory of the sons of God. So the only thing that will set this world free is when the sons of God, or the children of God, move from being children to be sons, and there shall be a manifestation of the glory of God, because it is the glory of God that will deal with all corruption. It is the glory of God that will set the captives free. It's the glory of God that will deal with every issue. You see, we are still in a process. Day by day, every one of us has a challenge with sin. Or is it just me? Every one of us has a challenge with sin, with temptation, with something that comes against us to try to trip us up, to make us fall down, to pull us down, to destroy us in some way, to make us feel guilty. Yeah? But the Bible says there is now no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's right. You know it, don't you?
No, I'm trying to learn.
Yeah, you're learning. You just finished it off right. So there's no more condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So you can stand in front of a mirror and you can say, Andy, you can look at yourself and say, Andy, there is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus.
You said that to me weeks and weeks ago.
Yeah, I did. You've remembered it. And that's good. Because that means the word is resting and settling and is growing and taking root within you. Mm-hmm. And it's bringing you into your freedom.
You said don't let no one condemn you.
Don't let nobody condemn you. The word is truth. The word is truth. And the truth will set you free. Free. You've got it. The truth sets you free. And he who is free, the word of God says, is free indeed. We're not in bondage. You know, glory to God. We're not listening to the lies of the devil and the lies of this world. God is moving us into a new circumstance and situation for his praise and for his glory. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Verse 23. I'll read the other verse before it, and then, but we'll move on. But 23 is what I want to focus on. For we know that the whole of creation groans and suffers the pain of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Hallelujah. We've been adopted. We've been chosen. Praise God. And that is so important. And I'm just going to hold off that a moment. But what we're doing tonight is we are... Just let me just try and just focus you a little bit closer and a bit tighter. That we tonight we are focusing on the spiritual house. Right? The spiritual house. The word says that we are lively stones. We are part of God's spiritual house. And that's what God is wanting to focus his church on, the spiritual house. Because in the spiritual house, that is where the power and the Shekinah glory is going to manifest itself. In the spiritual house. Not in the physical, but in the spiritual house. So that no matter where we gather, there will be a manifestation of the spiritual house of God. You can gather in a garage. You can gather in a barn. You can gather in a church type building. You can gather in the middle of the field. But it's the spiritual house that gathers. And it's the spiritual presence of God that will be made manifest. That's where we're going to. It's where God is taking us. I want you to just consider that. And remember that you are in this school of sonship. Some people don't like the word school. They have bad memories of school. You know, you hear people say, oh, I hated school. You know. Some liked it, some hated it, you know. But this is a different school. Praise God. But this is the school of sonship unto adoption. You see, you've been chosen by God. You are special to God. You're not just anybody. And thankfully, you're not a nobody. Praise God. You are a chosen child of God. And He's named you. Now this thing of adoption, it's not like we understand it in the world. This is a divine concept, this adoption. And it comes from God Himself. And we have to begin to change our human ideas on the word for adoption. And the word in Strong's Concordance means that before anything happened, God actually appointed you to adoption into His family. He appointed you. And the adoption is not an adoption of a physical thing, but it is an adoption of spirit. An adoption of spirit. Because you see, God cannot adopt us, and this is the issue we get. You see, we say, oh, I'm a son of God. No, you're not. Because you start thinking about this, and you use your brain. You think about your body, and you use your brain. And your mind, and you say, oh, I'm a son of God. I'm adopted into the family. You're not adopted physically into the family. You're adopted spiritually, which is a higher level. Which is of greater importance. Because God doesn't need your body. Think about it. Your body is not going to exist in this form. If Jesus tarries, many of us will die. And what happens then? We don't have nobody. I ain't got nobody. But I've got Jesus. And He's got me. And He has my spirit. And He's got you. That's what I like to hear. And so, God is spirit. God comes to you by the spirit, not by physical means. God is not a God that is about physical means and things around us. He's not about money. He's not about cars. He's not about houses. But God is about spirit. Because life is in the spirit, not in the body. Life is in the spirit, not the body. The spirit gives life. The spirit of God directs us in His plans and His purposes. It's not your mind. He doesn't do it by intellect. But He speaks through His spirit. When we start to worship and we come into that form of true worship, we will hear the spirit. The spirit will speak to us. You see? And you and I have to come together in a unity of spirit. And if we come in a unity of spirit, we will actually come in unity physically as well. And emotionally, we will come in unity. Because we've come in a right spirit. We've come with that anointed spirit. And so, beforehand, before you were appointed to adoption. Adoption, we understand it as bringing someone from the outside of the family into the family, don't we? That's how we consider adoption. That's what we think about as adoption. We take somebody from outside our family and we bring them into the family. Right? And we place them there. Well, God's idea means the fact of placing of sons. This adoption is in the realm of the spirit and not the realm of the flesh. As God is spirit have said. And so, he has decided that he's going to pick spiritual sons. He's not picked you because you're good looking. Not that you're not good looking, you said. Yes, yeah. Oh, do you see that recovery? Excellent recovery that was. You've got to give it to me on that one. Nearly made a big mistake, didn't I? Yeah. He's not picked us for our looks. He's chosen us because he has placed his spirit. He's picked us by spirit. He's chosen us by spirit, not by flesh. And the word of God tells us that all creation groans. What's it groaning for?
The world lost souls.
No, it's not. That's it. The world, all creation, it says in verse 22, groans and suffers the pains of childbirth unto now. And not only this, but we also, having the first fruits of the Spirit, we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoptions and the redemption of the body. And so, all of creation groans that the sons of God will be made manifest, will be seen. And it doesn't mean seen physically as we are now, but it means to be seen spiritually. It means there has to be something happening to us spiritually. It means there has to be a difference going on in our lives. There has to be something happening in the dynamic realm of the spirit that is different to the realm of the flesh. And so all of creation groans. And it groans until now, until the sons of God be made manifest. You see, there are people who go to church and they are children of God. That's in the realm, really, to some degree, of the physical. But God is moving his church. He wants a church that are sons of God, and sons of God are spiritual. Spiritual. That's where God's moving us. See, there's a difference in that wording. Children, sons. Oh, you're stealing me fire, John. Oh, Jesus. You want to come up and preach it? You can. Glory. Absolutely. That's very good, that, John. Praise God.
Those sons are on meat, are they?
The sons are on meat. The children are on milk. Yeah. We'll bring some more of that out. But yeah, you've hit the... You're dashing on in front of me. Praise God. So, obviously, some of you are being tuned by the Spirit of God. You are coming in tune with the things of God. You see. Because you're already there before I got there. You're already waiting for it to be said. So you are knowing in the realm of the Spirit, you know that you know in the realm of the Spirit. And so that means, you see, that we are flowing in Spirit. We're moving together as the sons of God, that the Shekinah glory of God shall be made manifest in the sons of God. Praise his wonderful name. 29. Just concentrating on this. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now then, God who has already chosen you, God who has already planned you for adoption, has chosen you and have placed you for adoption into his family, right? He's saying here in his word that he has also predestined you to become conformed to the image of his Son. What's the image of his Son like? Like his Father. Spirit. God is Spirit. Jesus is Spirit. So he wants us to be conformed to his image, which is the image of his Spirit, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. So Jesus is the firstborn from the dead of the Spirit. And he's the first one to run. He's the runner of it. He's the firstborn runner for it. But guess what? We're following on behind. We are born of the Spirit. And we will be like him. We will flow like him in the things of the Spirit. We will hear God speaking. We will understand the power of might of God's word. We will see the signs, the wonders and the miracles. That is the intent for the church. It is not that we sit around in pews and just have a few nice things preached to us. But it's that we take authority. It's that we stand on the promises of God. It's that we move in the power of God. The Bible says Jesus laid hands on the sick. And they recovered. Because he's the Son of God. He's flowing in the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit came in him. And he became full of the Spirit. Guess what? God wants exactly the same for you. God's plan is, that's for you. Yeah, that's right. You've had a touch, a mighty touch of healing. You know that. God wants you to continue with that flow. God wants that to flow out of you to others. You see, you've had the experience that though you were pronounced dead, God pronounced you alive. Two opposites.
Like you said, he didn't give up, did he?
God don't give up, no. And you aren't going to give up, you see. You press in now. You press into the supernatural, into the things of God, into the miracles of God. You're a miracle. The doctors said you were dead. The doctors pronounced you that within 2 days you were going to be dead totally. They've given up on you. But guess what? God didn't give up. Well, I weren't going to give up. Even when you're dead. I don't give up. At least I'm going to at least try and raise somebody from the dead again. Well, that's what the word says. If you don't try it, you never know whether it's going to work. And the Bible says the Great Commission is that go out into all the world, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons and raise the dead. Well, how do you raise a dead person? You have to find somebody dead. You can have all them things. And that's not wrong with what you've said. You know, faith and the gift of healings and miracles. You can have all them things. That ain't enough. Do you know what you need next?
The power of God, the Spirit of God.
Well, you should have all that with them. Do you know what you need next? A body. That's what you need next. Keep it simple, stupid. You know, you need a body. Preferably a dead one. Preferably a dead one. And then you lay hands on. I tell you something, when you get to Africa and things start happening out in Africa. Yeah. That's when you need to be stoked up, powered up, connected. Looking like a son of God. Speaking like a son of God. Acting like a son of God. Moving in the anointing of a son of God. And he speaks the word and then life. In Jesus' name. You need a body. Praise God. And God can do it. But you and I have to walk in that dimension of the realm of the Spirit. It's a new dimension to many people. We are groaning to a place of coming into a new spiritual age. That's where we're at. We're groaning to come into this new spiritual age. You see, even in our worship lately has been pressing on the edge of a dimension. Now some of you say, well, I haven't really felt it, I haven't sensed it. Well, keep pressing. Keep pressing, because you will. And we are, but he's focusing on Jesus. If you focus on things around you, you're going to miss it, you're going to lose it. Because you're going to be distracted. You see, I get into worship and I'm not prepared to let anything else distract me. I focus. See, that's passion. If you want to achieve something and be good at something, you have to have a passion and you have to have a focus on it. That you press through. You have to have a desire for things. The more you desire the things of God, the more God will give to you. And it's not about pleading. That desire is not pleading. Some people get that mixed up and they think that desire is all, please give me, give me, give me, give me. That is a form of desire, yeah. Could be a desire of greed. Selfish desire. But you see, the desire for more of God is that more of God can come into you and that more of God will flow out of you. You see, we were talking a few weeks ago and we were talking about the river of God that flows from the temple. And what does the river do? How does it flow? Come on, one is out of your belly. That's one part of scripture. But I said to you, it flows from the throne room, yeah. Ezekiel went and stood in the river. And it got deeper and deeper until it was great enough for him to swim in. But one thing about this river, that's it, you've remembered now. The river flows through you. When you stand in a natural river, it flows around you. And you feel the pressure of it trying to push you over. This river, you can stand in it all day. And the anointing of that river just flows through you. Flows through you. It's not flowing against you to push you over. It's flowing through you. And it deposits life and power and glory within you. That's great. The river leaves something behind in you. When plants draw from water, they draw something out of the water as well. As a refreshing, a strengthening, a nutrient. Well, when the river of God flows through you, it deposits something in you. What is it depositing?
Life.
Yeah. That's a good one, that. Life. Whose life?
God.
The life of God. Absolutely. The life of God. The glory of God. That's part of God's life. Isn't that good? Praise God. I'm getting a buzz. I'm getting a bit excited here. I just feel there's just something happening. Glory to Jesus. It's that life of the river. And you get into that river and it revitalizes and it quickens and you get that tingling sensation. It's like, yes, there's life in this river. There's an abundance of life in this river. There's energy in this river. There's spirit in this river. And so, the river as it flows through us, it's touching the things of the Spirit, and it's also the Spirit is changing the flesh. And so we are Spirit, not just flesh. We are drawn in the Spirit, and we are drawn into the things of God through the Spirit. And in the Spirit, the flesh changes. You know, when you get so enraptured, so focused on the things of God, the flesh begins to change. The flesh begins to change. And I'll tell you this, I have even seen it, even in a simple way, in people, in their outward appearance. Bill looks younger. Don't get, you know. No, he's off, you see. Bill looks, how long have you been with us, Bill?
Nearly 10 years.
Bill has not aged in that 10 years, right? Well, he has. He's gone the other way. In his physical appearance. I'm sure Bill could actually dig some photos out from 10 years ago, can't you? He could bring them in, and he could show you, and he could put them down, and you would say, well, you look older in that photograph than you do now. And do you know why? It is because he's spending time in the river of God. He's spending time, and the Shekinah glory is renewing us, you see. See, the world and sin in the world has brought destruction to us. God created us to live and not die. Sin brought death. But the river is called the river of life. And the reason it's called the river of life, because it brings life. You look younger now.
No, I ever did.
Well, I don't know about that, but certainly from when I first met you. Why? It's because you have got that river of life of the Spirit within you, you see. And that is part of God's glory, wanting to get out of each and every one of us. I'm not going to say anything about young. Bless her. She looks younger, there's no doubt about it. And Joan, you see, she sits there all quiet. Doesn't say very much. Get her on one side and start. Wind her up a bit, you know, in nicely, I mean, you know, just get going. And she can preach to you. She can share the word of God. She can share life. Powerful prayer. Mm-hmm. Ministry that needs to be drawn out. Watch out, John. Praise God. I'm not joking when I say these things. I'm serious about these things, you see. You see, God will shake his house. And in shaking his house, he's rearranging things. And there's times when God will remove things from the house. It's had its day. It's time for things to change and to move on. And there are times when situations can be when things are hindering the changing of the house. And God will remove that in different ways. And so God is constantly wanting his house to move in his glory and his power and his resurrection life. So praise God. Let's get back to where we were. So, as the Spirit changes the flesh life, guess what? That's something that the enemy doesn't want. That's something that the enemy doesn't want. He doesn't want you to be changing. He doesn't want you to be different. He wants you to still be in your old, simple ways. But God wants you to change, and God's Spirit wants you to change, and he's directing change in your life. You see, to be a child, it's a generic type term. But sonship is to receive something. When you're born in a family, you're born as a child. You have three children. Two girls and a boy. They're children. You have two children. A girl and a boy. They're children. He's a child. Sonship is something that we are called into. You don't call your child in, do you? You don't get no choice. You get what comes. Irrespective of what scientists say for the future, you get what comes. You've no choice in it. Oh, I didn't want him. Send him back. Didn't want this one. Can't do it, you know. Sometimes you think, golly, can I send this one back, you know. Have another tantrum. Let me send this one back. Can I swap it for another one? You can't. You're stuck with it. But you see, sonship is about being received. It's receiving something in God. It's something that is given. It's something that's imparted. That something is more than being born. It's deeper than that. You see, the law of the Old Testament, and even the law that was applied even in the New Testament by some of the Jews at times, the law does not bring you into sonship. It doesn't bring about sonship. Sonship is being developed in us. There's the difference. You can't legalise sonship. You can't just write a piece of paper out and say, well, Tracy, you are now, you know, and that's sonship for you. It's not about that. It is a process that is going on in each and every one of us. We are being developed into sonship. And that is actually as we receive the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God begins that work of developing us into sonship. That's when we start becoming the sons of God. That's when we're changed from children. As the Holy Ghost moves in our lives and develops us, as we listen to the Holy Spirit, and when the Word of God begins, that work begins to change. So we need to be led by the Spirit. Moving on in the dimension of the Spirit and finding God. Developing his life in us, the life of God flowing out of us. God's intention is to bring all of his sons, all the sons of God, into a place, into that one place. You see, sonship is not about individuality. It's not about being individuals. You see, when you start being an individual, you want your own thing. You want your own way. You want your own ideas. That's not sonship. Guess what? God's in charge. You're not. Some people would come up at times and say, I've got an opinion. Tough. God's not interested in your opinion. Because opinions come out of the soulish man. Opinions are brought about by circumstances and situations. Opinions are through what you've learned. It's a learned syndrome. But when you listen to the Spirit, you don't have an opinion. You have the Word of Life. and you have that word of life, it's not an opinion, because sometimes the word of life totally goes against any opinion that you and I might have. I mean, I have known at times that I have said things and it's like, well, that really cuts against where I've come from. It cuts against my natural understandings. It presses against them. But when I listen to the Spirit, I know that's right, and I press through with the things of the Spirit. I hope tonight I'm making myself clear, but trying hard tonight to try and bring this as clearly as possible to you. So the church is not about an individual. And so if an individual decides to have an issue, tough, because you're going to have to get over it. You're going to have to get over it. Because you are not the church. Do you understand that?
Are we all the church then, all of us together?
Yeah.
And not one individual.
Not one individual. That's right. You've got it. Excellent. You've got it. I think I'm making myself fairly clear tonight.
We're a family, aren't
we? We're a family, yeah. Now, there can be issues in the family. But you see, if we focus so much on the natural, then we'll fall out. You have to focus on the things of the Spirit. Because that is where our unity is. Because if you focus in the realm of the natural, in the realm of the flesh, you've all got your own ideas. Andy's got an idea how to deal with people. Through his training. I have a different idea. He says his works, so does mine. Now we're disagreeing. So there can be, you know, and before you know where you are, this thing, then people take sides. And it begins to be a dispute, and it begins to get up to a level where it's like, hang on, God's not even in this. It's now about individuals and personalities. Well, let me tell you what you do with your personality. Very simple. It's in the Bible. It said your personality is part of your flesh. And the Bible says, what did it say, John?
Kill it.
Daily. Crucify the flesh. Kill it. I've been offended. Well, tough, get over it. That's your pride that has been offended. Get over it. I've lost count of how many times I've been offended. I've lost count of how many times I've been accused of saying things and doing things that I've never ever been and done. But they've put my name on it. They've decided I've done it. Well, that's okay. I just walk on. Get on with it. Leave it behind me, I'm just keeping going. Because I'm not interested. I know the truth, and the truth sets me free from it. I'm not going to walk in their bondages. Because they're going to try and put me in a bondage. Put me on a guilt trip. Put me in a situation where I'm feeling guilty and I'm backing off. And I withdraw. That's exactly what the devil wants you to do, withdraw. It's like, no, I'm just carrying on. Keep foot pressing in. Keep moving forward. You see, this is what we're about. The church is about being elected as sons to the church. You don't just come along and choose a church and say, oh, I'm going to go there.
Well, at top at flat.
Yeah. God draws you in and chooses you. Now you've got to start to fulfil your purpose and plan within that place. Now you've got to come in and be part of the lively stones. Now you've got to start coming and flowing in the dimension of the Spirit that the church is moving in. You have to become part of it. You see, when you get in the river of God, because the river flows through you, you become part of the river. Naturally speaking, when you get in a river, you are not part of the river. No, just listen. I'll do that again for you. All right, I'll do that again. It's okay. I'll make sure you get it. The river of God that flows from the temple, when we, like Ezekiel, move into that river is flowing through us. And because it's flowing through us, we are part of that river. We're part of it. We become one with it. That's right. As what we're trying to say is that when the Spirit of God is moving, you become one with the Spirit of God. Right? Mm-hmm. Now then, if you get into a natural river, you never become part of the river. Because the river will knock you over if it's flowing fast. You'll either be carried on top of the river or the river will drown you. Now the river of God will not drown you, the river of God will impart to you. You become part of that river that is come from the throne room, and so what is flowing through the rope, what is flowing from the throne room flows into your very being and you become part of it. That's right. But if you stand in a river, a natural river, you don't become part of it, you just become an obstacle within the river and you get swept away and cast to one side. And a natural river will not give you life, it could bring you death. But the river of God brings life because it is flowing through us and it is imparting the life of God, the glory of God, the Spirit of God into each and every one of us. We need to get into the river. Well, no, I don't mean just we. I mean the sons of God, the children of God, need to move to another level and get into the river. Get into the Shekinah glory. Get into the Spirit. You see, we have the ability in God to change the life of this nation and other nations. But first, we have to move into that sonship, because in the sonship there is the power, the authority to change circumstances around us. But it's in sonship. It's not just being a child. It's in the sonship. And so, as the church comes together, and I've said this before, as the church comes together, so we bring the glory of God. And we will begin to see the glory of God shining. We will begin to see His kingdom coming. And we will see the enemy being destroyed. We won't have to do anything about it. It said stand. And having done everything, stand. But you know, folk get so involved. We're not called to a battle. It says, if you read in Revelations, it says Jesus is coming with an army. He's not coming for an army. He's already got one. That's good, that. He's coming with an army. He's not coming for an army. He's coming for the sons of God. That's what he's coming for. He's coming for the sons of God. He's the head. He is the Son of God. We are joint heirs with the Son of God. Heirs to the family. Sons of God. So he's coming back for the sons of God. That's what he's coming for. His glorious bride. He's not coming for an army. Now I know we talk about spiritual warfare, and we need to understand that in a different light at times. But we're not going around having to fight. And you know, the word tells us to, having done all, stand. Having prepared yourself in the word, then stand. Even in the Old Testament, God said to him, you won't have to fight today. Just start praising me. I love that one from Kings, where he says to him, put the singers up front. We're going to sing. We're going to praise God. We're going to magnify the Lord. And as we do that, God will put the enemy to flight. Why? Because their Shekinah glory will come down. When Gideon, 300 men, they broke their pitchers and blew a trumpet and shouted the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That was it. Everybody came running out of the tent, drew the sword and stabbed the next person in sight. All dead and all done and dusted. Nobody had to fight. They didn't even blood a sword. They just went round picking up all the spoils for 3 days. Hallelujah. Come on. Third day life. Blessing to God. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Oh, Lord, you see, we missed that one. We just read that across. The Father of glory. What does he mean? The Father of glory may give to you a spirit of wisdom, a spirit of revelation, a spirit of knowledge. What's he giving him for? It's a spirit of revelation of him. You know, people read, oh, God's going to give me a spirit of revelation. Yeah, he is. It's a revelation of God. You need a revelation of God. It's what you need. You need the wisdom of God. The knowledge of God. It's the knowledge is all about, it's the knowledge of him that we need. We don't need the knowledge of the word, we need the knowledge of God. The knowledge about that God exists and who he is and what he has for us. His purpose and plans for us. And pray. As Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. One version says, I pray that your understanding may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of God's calling and the riches of the glory of God's inheritance in the saints, in the sons of God. That's where we're at. We need to be spiritually enlightened. That's what apostles are saying to us. You've got to get switched on spiritually. To use a sort of natural type phrase. As we become switched on, as we become enlightened, then suddenly the results of the works of the devil, our eyes, that he seeks to darken our eyes. You see, what the devil tries to do, he tries to keep you and I in some form of misunderstanding and darkness, so that we don't recognize his wiles. We don't recognize what he's doing. But you see, we need to have our eyes opened. Corinthians says that though we see through a glass darkly, because we're children. But the word says when we become mature, we put away childish things. Can you see the connection? From being children to being sons. Sons is a maturity. Hallelujah. Sons is a maturity. And we come to that place of maturity in God. Hebrews 5, chapter 5 and verse 8. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal life. Wow. Jesus is the source of eternal life. To those who do what?
Obey him.
Well, I'm going to do my own thing. You ain't. That's rebellion. And the Bible says rebellion is as the sin as witchcraft. Verse 8 and 9. Sorry. Did I not say? My apologies. Verse 10. Being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. Concerning him, we have much to say. And it is hard to explain. Since you have become dull of hearing. Oh. That's a bit of a slap in the face, isn't it? These Hebrews, you know, they knew the Old Testament from back to front. They could stand up in front of you and recite most of it. And the apostle says you've become dull of hearing. You don't even understand your own history. You're only seeing history through the mental picture. You're not seeing history as it's being played out in the spirit realm. Who Melchizedek was. Concerning him which we have much to say, it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. I thank God that this church is not hard to preach in. Because you lot are not dull of hearing. You're ready to receive the word. Verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need again to be again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Now, somebody else mentioned this earlier. Joan, weren't it? You see, the children of God, Joan, drink milk. The sons of God eat meat. Spiritual food. Strong meat. Strong, though they can take a strong word from the Word of God. And you see, what he's saying here, he's also saying, you that are now eating meat should be teaching the Word of God to others. That's what you should be doing. Oh yeah, you might not be able to stand up here and do it because of nervousness, but you should be able to sit around and teach the Word of God. That's what teaching the Word of God is, being able to share the Word and the life of God with somebody. And so you bring them off milk. See, you don't grow big and strong drinking milk all the time. You need some solids. You need something to chew on. Get feeding in milk. Not be long before you're kept awake all night, you'd be saying, I'm hungry. Yeah. I know the feeling. I get that same way. Sometimes Grace say, right, time we're going to bed. I'm saying, what about my supper? Well, you had a late tea. I don't care whether I had a late tea or not. I just need that little bit of something. A bit of cake, biscuit, bun. Yeah, just something. Just something sweet to put me to sleep. I can't sleep. I can't sleep on this thing called an empty stomach where there's this thing that rumbles in the night. You know, there's just this nagging feeling that there's a little space that just needs to be filled. I have been known in times past to wake up in the middle of the night. And it's like, I'm hungry. Go and get into the biscuits. Sports biscuits at one time we used to get. We don't get them anymore now. Do you know what? I know why. I've realised why. If you don't want to be putting weight on, you see. But getting to a packet of sports biscuits and a glass of milk and maybe some hot chocolate and munch away on these biscuits. And I got so lazy at one time that I went through this period, I don't know what it was, I'd wake up in the middle of the night, every night, and I just wanted a few biscuits. So I used to have a drink at the side of the bed, a packet of biscuits, and then I'd wake up. And with this feeling, you know, as Grace passed asleep, and I'd reach over on the side, and I'd pull it, and there were crumbs in bed. There were crumbs in bed, but, you know, brushing all crumbs out, like, you know. Ah, oh, no, not quite, but, you know, not quite a microwave, but I just went through that phase with, I need the biscuits, you know, biscuits. So. You see, we need to be on real solids. We need to be feeding on the Word of God. We need to be moving in that dimension of that realm. So we need to be off the... You see, the milk is just signs of inexperience. We have to come to a place where we begin to exercise ourselves in the realm of the Spirit of God. An infant has everything done for it. Is that not right? An infant, you have to do everything for it. A child, you have to do most things for it. But guess what? When you become a son of God, you start to be a doing. You start doing. Sons of God do. Sons of God are not sitting there saying, do it for me. They're saying, what can I do? Yeah. What can I do? I'm ready. What can I do? I want to do something. I want to be moving forward. Because I'm a son. I'm not a child anymore. You know, you've become mature. You've exercised yourself. You've become strong. And you start to move forward in God. And that's what God wants for us. Hebrews, and I'm just going to finish with this scripture tonight. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 15. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they were provoked me, referring to the children of Israel when they provoked God in the wilderness, coming out of Egypt. God is saying that we need to take responsibility as sons. We need to be responsible as sons. It's not about you having your paddy and your issues. God is not. Be quite honest. God ain't interested in your issues. Because your issues are about the flesh. Your issues are about the eye. It's about the eye. You see, we need to come out of the nursery school. And we need to move on. We need to come out of this nursery school and we need to move on and realise that God has a new dimension for us to move in. It's all about getting your spiritual senses exercised through the change. I mean, it happens through change in difficult circumstances. But no matter what circumstance we're in, God has a spiritual solution for each and every one of us. He has a spiritual solution to your problem right now. It's not an intellectual one. You see, so often we've been educated, we're taught, and we always think the answer is an intellectual one. Well, guess what? You're wrong. God is not an intellect. God is spirit. And all your answers, all my answers, are in the realm of the spirit. And the Spirit manifests itself. But the answers, the root of all the answers, are in the Spirit. And you and I have got to go to that. You and I have got to make it. And press through. And as we press through, we'll see God moving in power. Praise God. That's where we've got to move to. It's not about individuals. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about your feelings. It's about the Spirit of God that brings us to sonship. It's about maturing. And as we mature, you will see. You will not recognise yourself. If you take this word on board tonight, if you carry this out, you get into the Word of God, get into the things of the Spirit of God, you will not recognise yourself in a few weeks' time. I'll guarantee that. You will be a different person. And guess what? The devil won't recognise you either. But God knows you. And there'll be signs, wonders and miracles that flow around you. To the glory of Jesus. Amen.